Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 126 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. Thank you for hanging out with me today, listening to the pod. Today, we're going to talk about some of the most common ways I see people when they are trying to stop drinking and just can't get it to stick, right? Some of the most common ways we screw up our sobriety. And one thing I want to be clear on with this, many of these are not struggles specific to addiction, right? These are struggles specific to being human, but we focus on recovery, so I'm going to make it fit with that. But this is not a thing that we have and nobody else has it, right? These are all things that everybody struggles with in every area of life. Some of our greatest obstacles in this journey are just human nature. We're all super committed to the big change we want to make in the beginning. It's easy to be committed in the beginning. You feel good, your motivation is high, you're on top of your game. The hard part is staying committed for the long game. And this is something that 98% of the population struggles with. I just made up that number, by the way. I don't know. I would say it might be more than that. But so don't beat yourself up about it like there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. It takes practice to learn how to do things differently than you've done them for your whole life or for many years. These habits and mistakes will also pop up in different parts of your life at different times. For me, I've made huge strides in being committed when I want to achieve something. And that doesn't mean that I'm easily committed in every area of my life, okay? I'm fantastic with commitment and dedication to my sobriety. And I'm pretty good at it with entrepreneurship because I'm a workaholic and my work is so much fun. So that's kind of easy for me. But I really struggle when it comes to other things. Time management, isolation, food and sugar. I still fall into the trap of binge watching a new TV show when I should be recording a podcast or creating social media graphics or returning phone calls. And then I get way behind on things and I don't feel good about it and I start beating myself up about it and yada, yada, yada. We are not perfect creatures that will do things perfectly and make the right decision 100% of the time and never make mistakes and never hurt each other's feelings and always do the right thing. Forget that thought. It's not about trying to do everything right all the time. It's about consistently learning from the decisions and actions that don't work, and consistently making an effort to do the things that are good for you and make you a happier person. And you have to do it like a million times to get good at it. I get the feeling sometimes that we have this misconception that if we do things a few times, we should be finished. Like, I went to AA 5 or 6 times, so I should be cured. Or I worked out for 2 weeks, so I should totally be in shape. I ate healthy 4 meals, so I should have lost that 10 pounds, right? I put in 5 job applications, so I should have a job by now. We are hardwired for instant gratification, and that definitely makes things a bit more challenging. But I want you to start thinking about it as a long game instead of a short game. Think about it like, the actions you take today may not give you instant results, but you know by doing the right things over and over again, you're building your future and creating long-term relief and results. So let's dig in to this list I put together. Number one, you've heard me say it a million times, being non-committal. Meaning you are not making an actual commitment to stop drinking. Many of us want to stop drinking for a little while, We make deals with ourselves that we'll stop for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. And then you're shocked when you start drinking again and it goes terribly. The truth is, you wouldn't be stopping drinking if you were able to drink in moderation, right? None of us would do that. If we could control it, we would. And the unfortunate part of this lack of commitment is that it puts you in a position of having to constantly, all day long, every single day of your life, you're having to decide over and over again whether or not you're going to drink. And honestly, it's exhausting. Nothing will wear you down faster than being in a non-stop argument with the committee about drinking or not drinking. The other thing with setting time goals of 30 days or 90 days or whatever it is it signals an endpoint. It's a little confusing for your brain when you're saying you're stopping drinking, then you put a time frame on it, so your brain doesn't know if you're really quitting or if you're still drinking. Unfortunately, there's no way anyone can get you to that decision any faster, and I went through the exact same thing, you guys, when I was figuring it all out. I quit once for 30 days and once for 60 days. Neither time did I intend to quit permanently. All I knew then was that alcohol was running me more than I was running it, right? It had more control of my life than I was comfortable with. But I didn't know yet that I couldn't regain control. My goal at that time was just to take a step back and prove to myself that I could stop. And I'm sure that's exactly where many of you get in this yo-yo sobriety, right? Because it takes whatever it takes to get to the place that you understand you really can't control it and you really can't have any. Of course, fast forward all these years and a million hours of education, I understand it a lot better now. And I know that once I had lost that control with alcohol, it was gone. There was no getting it back. And each time I started drinking again, I actually drank worse than when I stopped. And that's why I say I can't get you to making a decision any faster, because it is our own experiences and consequences that get us there. I was in exactly the same spot. I totally get it. I just wish I would have had someone to break it down to me and make it make sense. And I wish I would have had a tribe to support me, but I didn't. So I took all that drama and all those mistakes and all that insanity to get me to the place that I understood I had to make a decision and commit to it. It had to be my number one priority. No BS, no excuses. Nothing stands in my way. Alcohol is not entering my body, period. Next thing, thinking you are different. You see this a lot in 12-step meetings. People sit in there and listen, trying to figure out all the ways they are different, all the reasons they don't belong there, because there's some messaging out in the world, I guess, that it's wrong or bad to belong there, or it's a bad place, I don't know. But it doesn't matter what room you sit in. If you don't drink well, you don't drink well. It doesn't matter if you are at church, at AA, or at the dinner table in your home. I can't drink because I don't handle it well, and it makes me do and say things I'm not proud of, and it makes me feel bad about myself. And that makes me just the same as every other person who doesn't drink well, or who has a problem with drugs, or a problem with gambling, or a problem with sex. Just because you haven't had a DUI or blacked out or you have a job, that doesn't make your problem different. It doesn't make you better than anyone else. You heard me talk about this in the high functioning versus high bottom episode. I drank like a crazy person and I didn't get a DUI for 13 years. That didn't make me a better alcoholic than anyone else. My circumstances were just different. You don't need to label yourself anything if you don't want to. You don't have to go to STEP meetings or SMART or any other program if you don't want to. but you do have to get clear on what your situation is. Get honest about your inability to handle alcohol well and realize that none of us are better than the rest of us. Look for the ways we connect. We don't connect on the details of our lives necessarily. We connect on how we feel. We connect on how drinking takes us down, how it makes you a shadow of your former self, how it holds you back from your life, how it makes you do and say things you would never do and say. That's what we connect over. We don't connect over DUIs and jail time. Regardless of your circumstances, we all feel the same, and we can love and help and support each other in those things. Next, not having a plan. Not taking a drink is just the tip of the iceberg. Get a tribe, whether it's a few of your close friends and family, or join the Addiction Unlimited tribe in our Facebook group or in the Sober Society membership. Of course, any of the support groups are great tribes. Get a tribe that supports you and gives you some accountability. That can also do some coffee dates or Zoom calls with you, movie nights, dinners, phone calls, whatever you need to keep you positive and accountable. If you've stopped drinking before, then you know your own hurdles, right? You know where your struggles are going to be. Have a plan on how to deal with those hurdles before they happen. If you know you struggle with loneliness and isolation, then use your tribe and schedule to do all those things I just listed. Schedule a movie night or a dinner or a coffee date. If you struggle with anxiety, as we all do, have a plan to cope with anxiety so when you find yourself anxious, you know what to do to get through it. If 5 to 7 p.m. is your hardest time of the day, which it is for a lot of people, then have a plan for what you're going to do in those hours to get through it. If you know you are good for 2 weeks or a month and then you slip again, then have a plan for what you will do at that point to get through it. If you do nothing and have no plan for anything, then you're going to end up in a situation in a split second and your anxiety is going to shoot through the roof because you don't know what to do and you're surprised and you're going to be in fight or flight mode. Once you're in fight or flight mode, you're vulnerable and unsafe, and that's exactly where you don't want to be without a plan. Next, being a little lazy. You know, this is one of my greatest hurdles in life. Deep down inside, I am lazy. I spent the first half of my adult life doing absolutely nothing but laying around, eating, drinking soda, smoking cigarettes, watching TV. And like every other behavior, just because I stopped drinking doesn't mean all of that changed overnight. It just means I was doing it without a hangover. Changing all those behaviors has been a journey, and some I still struggle with. You know, one of the greatest things I can do for myself is understand that I have this laziness so I can work around it. When there's something I want to do, something that is important to me, I know I'm going to have to challenge myself. I'm going to have to do things when I would rather stay home. I'm going to have to keep going even when I'm tired. I'm going to have to push myself even when it hurts and I don't want to. Like when I'm working out, I promise you I want to stop. Sometimes the committee even starts telling me all the reasons I don't even need to go to the gym at all. You know, I don't need to go that day or any day for that matter. But I know it's good for me and I know I want to conquer it, so I keep pushing myself. I had to do the same thing when I got sober. Sometimes I was bored and restless. Many times I didn't want to drive to a meeting. That's another little hang up I have, you guys. I don't like to drive that much. And I don't know why, but I just don't. It's like the one thing, it will hold me back from a lot of stuff because I don't want to drive. And many times I didn't want to drive to a meeting. And many, many times over the years, I didn't feel like sitting in a meeting. But I do all those things because I know it's good for me. I know it's okay for me to be uncomfortable. I know following through on things is very important to me. So I will push myself and push through my little laziness that's nagging me, and I'll do it. That's how I want you to think about challenging yourself. When the committee starts to talk you out of doing something you know is good for you, remember you're doing it because it's good for you, and that's the person you want to be. You want to be someone who does what is good for them. Push yourself to do the things you want to do and don't let yourself off the hook so easily. That's one of the hardest things, I think, too, for those of us that need accountability. Almost all of us really need accountability. And you guys have heard me talk about this before too. I have a coach for everything, because if I try to hold myself accountable on certain things, I will always let myself off the hook, right? I will get caught up on the phone and decide the next thing on my calendar, like, oh, I don't need to do that today. I can do it tomorrow. Or I'll sit down and I'll start watching a show. I'll tell myself, here's how it goes for me. I'll tell myself, like, oh, I'm just going to take a break and eat some lunch, and I'll just watch a show while I eat lunch. Here's the truth, you guys. If I turn the TV on, I am going to struggle the rest of the day because I'm going to want to watch the TV, but I know I have work to do, and it just creates this whole thing for me. I have to challenge myself to not let myself off the hook, right? I have to challenge myself when I want to reach for the remote. I have to go, no, you know what happens. You can't do that. You don't want to do that because you want to be dependable and you want to get these things done and you want to provide this podcast or this worksheet or whatever to your audience. You have to get it done, right? And I'm not going to get that done if I'm binging Netflix in the middle of the afternoon. So I have to hold myself accountable. But we are the worst people to hold ourselves accountable. And that's why I have coaches. I have to know that there is an expectation that I complete something by a certain time, right? I have to have that. It's just who I am. And in some areas, I'm really great at holding myself accountable. In other areas, I'm really great at letting myself off the hook way too easily. So don't let yourself off the hook so easily. Last one for this episode. Not being teachable. One of the curses of being a person with addiction is that we tend to be very smart, sometimes too smart for our own good. We also tend to be rebellious and obstinate, stubborn, and we want to do everything our own way. You can see how this makes being teachable a little challenging. Being teachable means you listen and you take guidance. You are open-minded and willing to continue being open-minded. When I first started hiring coaches of my own, I would catch myself saying, I know. Like all the time, as my coaches would be talking to me, I'd be like, I know that. Yes, I know. I know that too. But there is a huge difference between knowing and doing. When I finally quit drinking, I realized that I needed to be taught how to live a new life because how I was doing it wasn't working. I think it was the first time in my life I was actually teachable, to be honest. I was open to what everyone had to say. I was willing to think about all of it. I was willing to follow guidance and try things even when I thought they wouldn't work for me. And especially when the committee told me not to do something, that's how I knew for sure I needed to do it. And I felt like everything I did should be uncomfortable because how I was comfortable was drunk and very unhealthy. So when I was walking into my first 12-step meeting and my anxiety was off the freaking charts, I was so uncomfortable and had no idea what to expect, but I knew deep down inside, I knew I was doing the right thing. And the right thing is almost always going to be super uncomfortable because I have to do things differently than I've done before. when I accepted my first invitation to go to dinner with some other sober ladies, I sat in my car in the parking lot and cried. My anxiety was so bad. But I knew I would be okay. These were lovely, sober women. Of course I would be okay. And I knew I had to do the things that I didn't want to do. I had to do the things that I wanted to hide from because it was uncomfortable. You know that saying, if you want something different, you have to do something different? That's exactly what I did with my sobriety. I did everything different. I sat down, I closed my smart little mouth, and I listened to the people who had more knowledge and experience than me. I followed simple directions, I followed through on things, and I was teachable. If you find yourself saying, I know, when someone is offering their thoughts or suggestions, you may want to look at that. It's dismissive instead of open. And that's what I learned with myself. Like, I was just constantly saying to my coach, like, I know. And she was like, well, I'm really effing happy for you that you know. How about we take some action? And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that. Because it is, it's very dismissive. It's just putting somebody off. Whatever they're telling you, it's just putting them off. It's dismissive. Or the other one I hear a lot, if you are the person that has a problem for every solution, this is super common. As people are offering suggestions on how to solve a problem about anything, you dismiss every single option with why, how or why it won't work for you. For example, if someone says, I don't have time to go to meetings, I'll start offering different ways to work in that time. I'll say, like, you could always find a noon meeting and go on your lunch break. And their immediate response will be, well, I can't do that because I do XYZ on my lunch and I can't give that up. So I'll say, okay, you could easily find one on your way home from work and get it done before you even go home. So when you get home, you can help with dinner and kids and all that good stuff. Well, I can't do that because my spouse will get angry if I come home 30 minutes late and I don't want to make them mad. Okay. So I'll say, well, the good news is there are a ton of meetings online too. So you can find a meeting in whatever time slot works for you, early in the morning before your family gets up or later in the evening before you go to bed, whatever works on your time frame from the privacy of your home. You don't have to do anything but sit there. And then all the reasons that won't work will come, right? You see what I'm saying? It's a problem for every solution. Not teachable, not being open, not taking suggestions. Not saying that every suggestion is going to be feasible for every person, but the truth is there are a million ways to make any one of those options work. Do a noon meeting online on your lunch hour at your office and log off a few minutes early to go do whatever you need to. Being open-minded and teachable means you're willing to explore options and figure out a solution instead of just shooting down every suggestion. If it is something that is important to you, you will find a way to make it happen. We are all busy people with full lives. At this stage of the game, I feel like I am lucky to find time to shower every day. And I know a lot of you can relate to that feeling of having every minute accounted for. And sometimes it feels like you can barely breathe. But if I dropped my phone and broke it right now, I absolutely promise you I would find an hour to go to the phone store immediately because it's important to me. And the phone store would probably take more than an hour because those places are a zoo sometimes. But you see what I'm saying? When something is a priority, you find a way to make it happen. And if you want recovery to work, it has to be a priority. And if you want recovery to work, you have to be teachable. We go to college to let people teach us what we don't know. You work in jobs with managers and bosses that teach you what you need to know. You sit in church and allow them to guide you. There are all these different ways that we are teachable and have to be teachable to get through life. Sobriety is the same. When I walked into my first 12-step meeting at 7 days sober, I knew I didn't have any of the answers. I needed to be taught how to live differently, how to make different choices, and how to build a life that was sober because all I had done was build a life that was drunk. I didn't know the first thing about living sober. And you've heard me say this before. I walked in, sat down, and shut up. And it was the greatest service I ever did for myself. I didn't argue with anything. They told me to get a sponsor, so I tried to get a sponsor. Now, I had several attempts at getting a sponsor that didn't work out at all. But I was willing to try, even when it was something I was uncomfortable with and I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to get a sponsor. I thought it sounded crazy. But I was willing to explore the options because I was teachable. I knew I did not have the answers. And eventually, I ended up with the exact sponsor I wanted from day one, and it was one of the best experiences of my life because I was willing and open. They said, come to a meeting every day, and I thought they were insane. The only thing I did every day was drink. And that's exactly why I knew I needed to go every day. I wanted to show my commitment. And in my head, I thought if I was willing to drink every day, then it only makes sense that I would do my recovery every day. I didn't even realize it at the time, but I was just so completely open and I wanted to be taught because I was exhausted by myself and my life. So I was teachable. All right, let's go through those really quickly one more time. Being non-committal, thinking you are different, not having a plan, being lazy, not being teachable. I want you to think about this list and look at what you're doing or how you're doing it and what isn't working. Where can you make some adjustments to be better or do things a little bit differently? There's always ways that we can improve, right? When I get really honest and look at what I'm doing, if it's not getting me where I want to go or it's not getting me there as fast as I want, I have to look at, okay, well, what can I be doing differently? Where can I put a little more energy in to make this more efficient, to make it better, make it feel better, whatever. But I have to be honest about what I'm doing and where I'm falling short, right? Because I'm always kind of falling short somewhere, and that's okay. That's not a big deal. But if I want bigger results, then I have to take bigger action. And that means bigger honesty and humility about what I'm really doing and where I am and what my thoughts are and how I can improve those. Okay? That's it for today, my friends. You can always find us in the Facebook group for more discussion about this episode and everything else for that matter. And I will link that in the show notes as usual if you want to come join us for some good support and accountability and love. I hope you are having a fantastic day and I will see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.